We are back, and we are joined by the one and only Larry Hogan, your Republican gubernatorial candidate for the great state of Maryland. He's on the line now. Mr. Hogan, how are you?
Derek, it's great to be with you.
It's good to have you back. Good to have you back. Now, I want to invite everybody, if you got a question for Larry Hogan, 410-467-WBAL or 1-800-767-WBAL. And those of you on the line, we'll get to you in a moment. But I want to ask you, get your sense of how the campaign is going thus far, Mr. Hogan.
Well, we couldn't be more pleased with where we are at this point in the race. You know, a lot of people didn't give us much of a chance here in Maryland with a 2-to-1 registration disadvantage. And, you know, my opponent's got all the powers of incumbency, and he spent $12 million of special interest money to outspend us 12-to-1.
Mm-hmm.
And in spite of that, 6 recent polls have us down to low single digits. We just got the results of another poll back yesterday morning. Another poll that shows us within the margin of error. It's a dead heat toss up race for governor, which you know, we're pretty pleased to be in that position.
Well, that I knew it was going to be narrowing because of common sense. Plus, I saw a story in the Washington Post the other week that the Democratic Governors Association is going to come in with $750,000 to, you know, a blue state that was considered a tap and putt for Anthony Brown.
Well, that was certainly one indication of it, Derek, but there were many other indications. You know, for a little over a month, when Anthony Brown saw the results of some of these polls and actually got his own poll in that showed us down to low single digits, he went from ignoring us completely to just attacking us from all fronts. He got the Maryland Democratic Party, the Democratic Governors Association, his campaign. They've run 4 just blatantly false, really nasty attack ads.
Wait a second. You don't hate children?
No, I love children, actually. The fact that they never went negative in the primary with Doug Gansler, it was always positive spots about his military service and the fact that he adopted a kid. And with me, it's all guns blazing. And you're right. The Democratic Governors Association, they never go into states that are a solid lock for Democrats.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't go into places where they, you know, there's not a tough fight. And they go into the races that are close that they have to try to save, and that's exactly what they're doing.
And
failed campaign. He dropped like a rock. We've tied the race, and now the DGA's already spent the $750,000 attacking.
And that's nothing to sniff at. Before we get to the calls, I have one more question for you that I wanted you to explain to the audience. I was looking at the Baltimore Sun the other day because I lost a bet. And headline, Hogan calls for criminal probe of Brown campaign.
Right. Yeah, there's a clear violation of law here. And we filed a complaint 3 weeks ago with the State Board of Elections and have not gotten a response. But we think it goes beyond mere civil fines from the State Board of Election, that there may be criminal charges that may have to be filed. And we've asked the U.S. Attorney and the Attorney General to investigate to see whether the Anthony Brown campaign and Anthony Brown and Ken Ullman specifically actually broke the law with illegal coordination with a super PAC.
And you haven't heard anything back as of yet?
We have not, as yet, but we're hoping that we'll get some response from both of them.
All right. I appreciate you clearing that up. Now to the phones we go. People have a lot of questions for you. Let's start right at the top in the order they came. Andrew in Freeland, how you doing?
Fine. How are you?
I'm doing well. You're on with Larry Hogan. What's your question?
Mr. Hogan, I actually have a couple of comments, more so than questions. And it's this, I had reached out to the early campaign, you know, way back when, and they just never heard back then. But here's my thought on this. As much as you're being attacked, I would like to see you attack back more. And my thought is, you know, I can add something like, okay, he might have been a good lieutenant colonel, but he's a lousy lieutenant governor.
Well, Andrew, we're not going to take campaign advice, but I appreciate the call. Mr. Hogan, any response?
Well, yeah. I mean, we're going to be aggressively talking about the issues that matter to Maryland. And there's a difference between, you know, tough ads, and we're not going to we're going to go tough on the issues and his actual record, because Anthony Brown, you know, he's asking for a major promotion. And
mm-hmm.
I think we have to look at the job he's done over the past 8 years.
Well, we do have an issue call here. Line 2, Hayden and Glen Burnie. Hello, Hayden.
How you doing?
Good. What's your question for Larry Hogan?
I've seen the ads on TV about the pre-K ads that you're, mm-hmm. that you're against.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't understand your point of view, but where do you stand on that?
Yeah, well, we had a press conference today. to basically, you don't have time to go through the whole thing, but we said every single ad that the Brown campaign has run is absolutely false, 100% the opposite of the truth, and that they're filled with absolute lies. We didn't pull any punches.
Mm.
That's one of the ads. Now, I said multiple times that I support pre-K, and I think it's a wonderful idea. We have an existing pre-K program now. The ad says that I'll take $300 million out of pre-K to give it to wealthy corporations. That's just blatantly false. I haven't proposed taking one penny out of the pre-K program or out of any educational program to give to wealthy corporations. As Derek started out the conversation, do I really hate kids? Mm-hmm. I mean, that's basically what the ad says. Now, the difference is Anthony Brown has proposed a major expansion of universal pre-K. Right now, we provide pre-K to kids that are 300% above the poverty line. He wants it to be universal for everybody. It's a huge, big-ticket item. One of the many things he's promised, a total of $7 billion in new spending. And he says he's not going to raise taxes. Well, that's just false. So we've said, because of the terrible state of our economy here in Maryland, we simply can't afford it right now unless it's a nice goal for us to aspire to at some time when we turn the economy around. But to say that I oppose it and that I'm going to take money away from kids is just downright false.
Hayden, that your answer?
Yes, and I have one question, another question. You seem like a nice guy, everything else, but I was wondering, do you think with the taxes that going to be raised more?
Do you think we're going to raise taxes? Appreciate the call, Hayden.
Yeah, absolutely, Hayden. Well, first of all, we've had 40 consecutive tax hikes that so far have been an increase of $10 billion taken out of the pockets of struggling Maryland families and small businesses. But without any new increases at all, the O'Malley-Brown increases are going to, over the next 4 years, take $20 billion because there's automatic increases already built in, and they were phased in over different periods of time. So the escalation is going to double, where taxes are going up, the increases are going to go up 100% without any new taxes. With the new $7 billion worth of spending that they're proposing, Anthony Brown would probably have to come up with another 30 or 40 tax increases, but he's not being honest about that.
He said
last week that he doesn't foresee any tax increases in the future, and that's exactly what Martin O'Malley said in the last election in 2010 before he pushed the largest tax increases in state history over and over and over again.
But, Mr. Hogan, I've heard the governor say that he's cut the budget to the bone. Clearly, there's a...
Well, the governor is somewhat delusional on that topic. He says he cut $8 billion in spending. The fact is he increased spending by 36%, by $10 billion. And we could give him credit to say it's an $18 billion rounding error.
Yeah.
But he certainly didn't cut any spending.
Let's go to Sandra in Catonsville, Line 3. You're next, Sandra. Sandra? All right, we lost Sandra. Let's go to Megan in Baltimore on line 4. Hello, Megan. Is there a problem with the phones here? We're going to put you... there you go, Megan. How you doing?
Sorry about that.
That's all right. You're on with Larry Hogan.
Hi. I saw your news conference this morning where you accused your opponent of lying for saying that you opposed abortion. I was just curious, how long have you been pro-choice?
Well, here's the story. Anthony Brown has I went through point by point every single ad that they ran. Anthony Brown is running an ad on television that says that I will take away a woman's right to choose, even in the cases of rape and incest. And I said, that's an absolute lie. It's not my position now. It's never been my position in my entire life. I've said I'm personally opposed to abortion in certain instances. I've always had those exceptions in my own personal position. So it's definitely false. I've also said repeatedly that the people of Maryland decided on this issue in 1992. It's a matter of settled law, and that I am not going to roll back any laws. So his ad is completely false.
There you go. Next, we go to Chelsea in Baltimore. Hello, Chelsea. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Mr. Hogan. I've heard you're against repealing the unconstitutional gun laws they passed a few years ago, and you seem a bit squirrely on the Second Amendment, but I wanted to know what your stance is on concealed carry.
Well, first of all, I'm a strong supporter of the Second Amendment, and I've said that the gun laws are not going to be repealed. I mean, that's just being honest. They passed overwhelmingly in a legislature that's two-thirds the majorities in both houses, so the people that were promising to repeal the gun laws are just not telling you the truth. But I do support I want to make it tougher. This is the false ad from Brown. Brown says that I want to make it easier for the mentally ill to get guns, and that I want to that I'm against background checks. And what I've said is, I want to make it easier for law-abiding citizens to own guns, and I want to make it tougher on mentally ill, which this administration's failed to report mental illness for most of their entire term, one of the only states in the country that didn't. And I'm for instant background checks, joining the NICS system at point of sale, which is what most other states in the country, I think 38 states do, and we don't, instead of the way we're currently handling it. But misrepresenting my position.
So your answer on the gun laws is that it's just not politically feasible, considering the makeup of the legislature.
Exactly.
All right, Chelsea, satisfied?
Yes, thanks.
All right, thank you. Let's go next line to Karen in Baltimore. Hello, Karen.
Good afternoon, Derek, and good afternoon, Mr. Hogan. My question is concerning the black community. What is your strategy for campaigning aggressively so that, you know, most African Americans are Democrat and they are just, you know, kind of weaned to go to Anthony Brown? But what are you going to do to combat that and let African Americans know that you are not the Republican boogeyman that he's putting you out to be?
Thank you.
Well, thank you so much for the question. And it's been a major focal point of our campaign, actually. I've reached out to the black community more than any other Republican ever has. We've made it an important part of our campaign. Last week, I gave a speech on race and the importance of people taking a look at both parties, not being taken for granted by one party and being ignored by the other party at Bowie State University. Before an all-black crowd, was speaking to the Alpha Phi Alpha fraternity. I got a standing ovation when I left. People were hugging me and thanking me for talking about these issues and for being there. My opponent didn't bother to show up because he took their votes for granted. Labor Day weekend, we went into the heart of inner city Baltimore off North Avenue in some very rough neighborhoods, and we had a picnic for inner city residents to talk to them about their concerns and, more importantly, to listen to them. And they said, basically, no one ever cares about us, and you're the first one to show up, and they appreciated it. But we're going into every single community. We're going to fight for every single vote, and we're in Baltimore City and Prince George's County and other places, and we're hoping to do much better among African-American voters than any Republican ever has in the history of our state.
That's the thing about politics, Mr. Hogan, is it's listening. If people feel taken for granted, they're going to go through the old motions, but if you go and talk to them, like we've seen on the national level with Rand Paul and Marco Rubio and others, going to non-traditional, non-stereotypical places where conservatives, Republicans, whatever you want to call them, don't go. They find a receptive audience.
It was a very receptive audience. Then people appreciate the fact that you make the effort, that you're there to listen to their problems. And I was fascinated to learn in talking with folks and walking around North Avenue, going into these tough neighborhoods. I kept hearing the same concerns over and over again. People were talking about their concern for jobs and the economy, but they were also saying, what are you going to do about rolling back these taxes? They're the working poor. They're folks that are struggling and working twice as hard and keeping half as much. And I must have heard it 20 times in an afternoon, people saying, are you going to do something about these taxes? And that's what I hear in Western Maryland and the Eastern Shore and rural communities. I didn't expect to hear it in Walbrook Junction and Rosemont and off North Avenue, but they have the same concerns.
My guest is Larry Hogan. The caller is Phil in Columbia. You're up next.
Hi. I just wanted to comment. You may or may not be aware of this, that in Delaware, they call it the Maryland signing lotto bonus. That if you buy a house there, you make $10,000 that day.
Oh, wow.
They showed me, my house virtually identical amount in square foot, my taxes would go from $9,000 to $1,200.
Well, you know, it's an issue that I didn't know that specific fact. That's a good one. I'm glad you told me that. But we have been focused on this issue for 3.5 years. I've been leading the fight about this. The sad thing is that our state has had the largest mass exodus of taxpayers fleeing our state of any state in the Mid-Atlantic region, one of the worst in the nation. We've lost 31,000 Marylanders. They've taken with them $1.7 billion a year out of our economy. And a recent poll said nearly half of all Marylanders, 47%, would leave the state if they could. They're going in all directions. They're leaving for Virginia and Pennsylvania and West Virginia and Delaware. They're going to North Carolina and Florida. It's something that has me concerned every single day, people say to me. I love the state of Maryland. I can't afford to stay here.
It is a common refrain. We go next to John in Baltimore on line four. John, your question for Larry Hogan.
Hey, how you doing, Larry?
I'm doing great.
Good. Actually, I wanted to say was, and I wanted your reaction, is, you know, the middle class is really hurting out there. And, you know, over the last 8 years, you know, Otaxi has done nothing but, you know, raise taxes 41 times. You know, what is your plan to roll back the gas tax? I mean, what is your plan to roll back this rain tax, which is absolutely ridiculous? I mean, it seems like the when I hear that, you know, Anthony Brown made a comment that I'm going to continue the great programs of the O'Malley administration, you know, I mean,
hold on to your wallet.
Yeah.
Well, the thing is, the people are hurting, Larry. People really are hurting. And every time I turn around, you know, there's another tax. And you're right. Maryland has lost so many businesses.
Let him answer. Your phone keeps breaking up, but let him answer.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, Larry.
Hey, thank you. This is the reason why I'm running for governor. I mean, I'm one of those people that's completely fed up and disgusted with the direction we're heading. I have, for 3.5 years, led the fight against the O'Malley Brown tax increases. We're talking about, first of all, we've come up with a detailed plan. We've identified more than around $2 billion in wasteful spending. That's absolute waste and fraud that's been identified in 300 audits. That's about 5% of the budget that we can cut almost effortlessly. This administration has ignored all these recommendations from auditors for years. We're going to act on them. And then my plan is to roll back as many of these 40 tax increases as we possibly can. And we are required to have a balanced budget. So you can't just say, I'm going to eliminate all these taxes or I'm going to get rid of this or that without first cutting the spending. And that's what we plan to do. But the rain tax you mentioned is the one that we've led the fight on. I'm the first person to call it the rain tax. And my group, Change Maryland, involved tens of thousands of people in this issue. It's not the biggest tax. It's not the worst one that takes the most money out of people's pockets, but it's certainly the one. This was the straw that broke the camel's back. This is the one that people just couldn't stomach after 40 taxes in a row. We're the only state in the nation that taxes the rain. It's one of the first ones we're going to go after.
Amen. Let's go to line one. Rich in Westminster. Hello, Rich. What's your question for Larry Hogan?
Hey, good day. I was wondering, if you are fortunate enough to get elected, how do you think you're going to do any different than Ehrlich when they stonewalled him at every turn? He wanted slots. They wouldn't let him have them, and then boom, we get O'Malley, and then slots are the greatest thing.
Let him answer.
Yeah, it's probably the toughest challenge, and there's no question. I don't want to mislead anybody to thinking that's going to be an easy thing. But Bob Ehrlich had it tougher because he was the first Republican elected in 30 years, and they just none of them had been used to sharing the sandbox, and so there was a lot of hostility and animosity from the Democrats. And my friend Bob Ehrlich, a very competitive guy who came from Washington, they were both kind of, they butted heads a lot. And although he was trying to accomplish a great deal, they stonewalled him at many different points. Now, I've been focused on, my whole campaign's been talking about reaching across the aisle, that these aren't Republican problems or Democrat problems, that we've got to sit down at the table together and try to come up with common sense solutions. And I believe that when I'm elected in November, it's going to send a clear message to the Democratic leadership in Annapolis that they can't keep increasing spending 36%, that they can't raise 40 taxes in a row. 71% of the people in Maryland think taxes are too high, and only 28% want to continue with the same leadership. So I'm going to sit down with them. I mean, you can disagree without being disagreeable, but we're going to have to work hard to convince the Democrats. I can do a lot of it on my own in the executive branch. We can make Maryland more business friendly. We can run the government more efficiently, more cost effectively. We can cut spending. We can improve the regulatory environment, all without the legislature. But to cut the taxes, we're going to roll up our sleeves and work hard to try to convince them that it's the right thing to do for the people of Maryland.